All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And while you're turning there, let me again mention that we're starting to encourage you to sign up for the Living Cross. And hope that you will take the time sometime today to go on to the website livingcross.org and sign up for if you're going to work in Living Cross this year. Pastor Brian needs to know what he's got to work with, and Brother Tim, they need to know who's in and who's not. And so if you will sign up, please, and do that tonight. Do it after church. Don't do it right now, but do it after church, if you will. Or you could stop by the welcome desk. That's fine, and you can sign up at the welcome desk. But we need you to sign up for the Living Cross, and the sooner the better. All right. And then let me encourage you to be here Thursday night at 7 o'clock. How many of you have heard Brother Kenny preach before? You've heard him, right? Many of you have. I'm telling you, folks, he is just a fireball. And so I hope you'll come and be here Thursday night. Let's fill up the auditorium and fill up the balcony, and let's just push for a great service. Pray for the meeting. Pray that God will just come down and just send revival to our hearts. Boy, we sure need it. And let's pray for God to do some great things at school revival this week. It's Thursday and Friday. And then on Thursday night, we're having the service here at the church at 7 o'clock. And I hope you'll plan to be here for that. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to read a verse here, and then we're going to turn to a couple other verses, and I want to read those as well. But let's read chapter 3 and verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?" All right, ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. All right, go over to chapter 6, verse 19. Chapter 6 and verse 19. And Paul asked, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." All right, now go over to 1 Thessalonians. Just a couple books over. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And that's W-H, all right, so completely, all over. "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." All right, notice that. "And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." All right, let's pray together and then the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you now for our time together tonight. The music has blessed our hearts, and the testimonies about the bus ministry and the soul winning club and just being here has been a blessing. And now, Lord, we open the Word of God, and I pray that you will bless us richly as we look at these verses tonight and try to tie together what is a common theme here in these verses. And I pray that you will bless the Word of God to our hearts, strengthen us and help us and encourage us to go forth from here and just determine and make up our minds that we're going to love you and serve you with a whole heart. Father, bless us tonight. We need your blessing. Oh, I pray that you'll just shake us from our apathy and help us to get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. So bless us now, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want you to think for just a moment as we go into the message tonight. God has a throne. We read in our Bible that there is a place, a real place called heaven, and that God is in this real place called heaven, and that there is in this real place called heaven a throne, and God sits upon that throne. We are also told in the New Testament that that the Lord Jesus has a throne. God has a throne, and the Lord Jesus has a throne. You say, well, Pastor, where is Jesus' throne? Well, he sits at the right hand of God the Father. So he has a throne that he shares with his heavenly Father in heaven. You heard about the little boy that went to Sunday school, and they were on the way home, and the mother said, how was Sunday school, honey? And he said, oh, Mom, it was fine. And she said, well, did you learn anything today? And she said, I certainly did. And she said, well, what did you learn? And the little guy said, well, I learned that God does everything he does left-handed. And she said, well, why is that? And he said, well, because the teacher said that Jesus, that God was sitting, or Jesus was sitting on God's right hand. So you didn't know that. See what advantage coming to church gets you on Sunday night. I mean, can it get any better than that? All right, I know that was horrible, but I'm just trying to get you to think a little bit. Here's the point. God has a throne. Would you agree to that? And Jesus has a throne. He is seated at the Father's right hand. So if God has a throne and Jesus has a throne, is not the Holy Spirit also God? Where is the Holy Spirit's throne? You see, the Holy Spirit of God is just as much God as God the Father is God, and he's just as much God as God the Son is God. So if God the Father has a throne and God the Son has a throne, then where is the throne for God the Holy Spirit? And what we find in these verses is that the Holy Spirit of God does indeed have a throne. And that the throne of the Holy Spirit is the body of the believer of whom he indwells. You say, well, how did I get the Holy Spirit to indwell me? That happened when you got saved. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that happens when you trust Christ as your personal Savior. Now, I want you to think with me, folks. We blast the Roman Catholics because the Pope kicks God off the throne, and then the priest kicks Christ off the throne. And yet many Christians live the Christian life in such a carnal and worldly and self-glorifying way that they kick the Holy Spirit off the throne of their lives. All right? And we need to think about that. The average Christian tries to live the Christian life in his own power and tries to make his or her own decisions and then say what they want and think whatever he or she wants to think, and never one time stops to consider that the Holy Spirit of God at once to run his or her life. They never think about that. And Paul very clearly asks in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, in verse 19 and 20, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now, folks, let's think on this matter tonight for just a little bit. And let's think about how is my body the temple of the Holy Spirit, like it says in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. All right, let's think of a couple of things. Number one, first of all, let's think about the design of the Old Testament temple. If you'll just stop and think about it, folks, it is absolutely amazing how many things God created in threes. It's just amazing. For instance, past, present, and future. And that's all we've got. Past, nothing you can do about that. It's past, present, and then future. That's all we've got. Let me give you another one. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Isn't it amazing, all the threes? Here's another one. Height, depth, and width. All right? You say, you know, it kind of seems like maybe there was somebody, something behind all of this. You think? You think? Yeah, I do. Let me give you another one. Body, soul, and spirit. And every single one of us is a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. So let's think about this matter of three and the design of the Old Testament temple. The temple of the Old Testament had basically a three-part makeup. Remember, three in your Bible is the number of completion. Here's another one. God is a Father, He is Son, and He is Spirit. Okay, let me give you another one. There is solid, there is mineral, and there is gas. I mean, there's threes everywhere. Everywhere you look, there are threes. And in the temple, what we find was that there was a three-part design, much like God and much like the human body. In the temple, there was the outer court, there was the inner court, and then there was the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holiest, okay? So in the human body, there a man is a body, he is a soul, and he is a spirit. Now, the body is the exterior. The body is what we see in one another. It is what you see on the outside. And then every person who is a body also is a soul. Every body has a soul. The soul is who you are. It is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Another set of threes. It is your mind, the way you think. It is your will, your volition, the way you do, and it is your mind, your will, and your emotions, the way you feel. All right? That is your soul. It is who you are. The soul is the real you. It is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The soul is how we communicate one to another. You are not listening to my body. My body is only the house of my soul. You are listening to my soul. My body does not think. My soul thinks and it feels, it expresses itself. You are not listening to my body right now. You are listening to my soul right now as I expound to you the Word of God. So the soul is the real you. It is how we communicate with one another. And then every person has a spirit. Every person has a spirit. You are a body, and you are a soul, and then you are a spirit. Now, the body is what we see. The soul is how we communicate. And then the spirit is how we communicate with God, our Maker. If you remember Ephesians 2 in verse 1, Ephesians 2, 1 says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and sins hath he quickened." You have been quickened by the Holy Spirit at your salvation. The moment you trusted Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit of God quickened your spirit. Your spirit is dead before you're saved. You have no fellowship with God. But when you get saved, the spirit is quickened, it is made living, and you therefore have communication and fellowship with God. The soul is how we communicate with each other, but the spirit is how we communicate with God. Now, you have a body that is flesh. That is flesh. All right, let me have you turn to 1 Corinthians 15 for just a minute. Let me show you this in the Bible so you won't think I'm making all this up. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15, and look, please, at verse, look at verse 43. No, I'm sorry, 44. Look at verse 44. It is sown a natural body, talking about our bodies. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. All right, now watch this very carefully. You'll notice there is a period after the word body, right? Everybody see that? All right, now, that means that sentence is over. And really, folks, look at me. For our purposes, we don't need that sentence right there for what I'm wanting you to see. So let's go to the next one. This is what I want you to see. Period. Now look at this. There, what's the next word? Is. All right, remember, there's three tenses. There's past, there's present, and there's future. All right, now this is not hard. Which tense is that verb is? Present, all right? There is. Now, what's present mean? Right now, right? Would you agree to that? Now, look at it. There is a natural body. Now, question. How many of you have a natural body? Raise your hand. Okay, now you all ought to be raising your hand right now. If you are not raising your hand, somebody call 911. We're gonna get you out of here. All right? Right, you all have a natural body. There is a natural body. I am looking at yours right now. And you are looking at mine. There is a natural body. Now watch this. And there, what's the next word? Is a spiritual body. Now, you have a body that is flesh. But wait a minute. Paul said, you have another body that is not flesh. It's spiritual. You can't see it. It is your spiritual man. What is that? It is your soul body, if you will. It is your soul. There is a natural body, and Paul said that we have that, and there is a spiritual body, and we have that if you're saved. Each and every one of us sitting right here tonight has a natural body, and each and every one of us who knows Christ as personal Savior also has a spiritual body. You are a natural body and you are a spiritual body. In other words, you have two bodies. Now look at it this way. Your flesh is the body where your soul dwells. And then your soul is the body where your spirit dwells. You are two bodies. The body, physical, is the house of the soul, and the soul is the house of the spirit. Now, think of this. We can see our fleshly bodies, but we cannot see our spiritual bodies. The soul cannot be seen by our physical senses. Look again at verse 44 and notice this is present tense. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now, think with me, folks. Think with me. If the natural body needs taken care of, and it does, if you don't take care of it, you end up like this. All right, just a little warning. If you don't take care, John, I'm warning you now. Don't mess with this body. All right, I'll come back there on you now. The point is, folks, we got to take care of ourselves, right? Oh, if you don't, you're in trouble. And you know that to be true. So but wait a minute, the spiritual body needs nourished and cared for just like the physical body needs nourished and cared for. We take vitamins and we exercise and we go to the doctor and we run and we walk and we shower and we put on creams and anti-aging stuff and we eat right and you ladies paint your faces and you do all this stuff to take care of your physical body. Why? To try and make it last as long as you can. Amen. It's the only one you got. Right? And I'm certainly not against anybody doing that. I think everybody ought to take care of your physical body. When we started this question thing, people started emailing me questions, and a lot of them, I just answered them back because I wasn't sure I could get a whole 45 minutes out of the answer. And so I would just answer them back real quickly. And a couple of months ago, somebody emailed me, and I'll not tell you who it was. And the question was, Pastor, should a woman wear makeup? And I answered it with one simple line. I said, here it is. If the barn needs painted, paint it. Amen. That's good. That's good theology right there, isn't it? All right, send all cards and letters to PJ, yeah, Tis Turn. That's funny. You got to admit that's funny. Come on. I was joking. Sort of. Oh, I'm not against that. My goodness. But I tell you what I am against. I tell you what I am against. I'm against Christians living like they've only got one body, and that's the physical body. That's what I'm against. I'm against Christians living their lives neglecting their spiritual body that is within them, their soul body. I mean, we nourish and take care of the physical body, but totally neglect the spiritual body that we have because of our salvation. When I had that stent put in my heart back in June, I was given several sheets of paper explaining the heart healthy diet. And I've been trying to follow that diet, and I have been exercising, I've been walking, and even doing a little bit of running, not a whole lot, but a little bit. But I've been doing my best to make sure that I don't have to go back to the cath lab down at Sinai and go through that again. I just don't want to do that anymore. I just don't want to do it. And every time I see something, I think, oh, man, look at that. I'd love to eat that. Then all of a sudden, I just see myself laying on that table and that guy walking over to me with his hands up in the air like this going, you ready? No, I'm not ready. Knock me out. Do something. Don't let me lay here and watch you do this. Good grief. And I was awake while they did it. I passed out three or four times, but I was awake while they were doing it. I don't want to do that no more. I mean, I just don't want to do it. And I've been trying to follow the diet. I've been trying to do the right thing. But listen, folks, just as I have been taking care of my fleshly body, I need to take with just as much concern and just as much conviction, I need to take care of my soul, my spiritual body. Now, think for a minute. Just think about this for a minute. Suppose you do this. You start each morning with a great, big, thick, creamy chocolate milkshake. Every morning, chocolate milkshake with Breyers chocolate ice cream. Can I get an amen right there? That's the best ice cream in the world. And I can't eat it anymore. Been waiting all night for an amen, and he gave it at the wrong place. All right, so you start every morning with a chocolate milkshake. For lunch, you have two Big Macs, large fries, and the biggest soda they got. Not diet. The one with sugar in it. All right? Throughout the day, you eat three or four Snickers bars a day. And then for dinner, you have a huge pepperoni pizza with extra cheese. And then you eat a great big bag of buttered popcorn just before bedtime. And you get a big slice of chocolate cake and some vanilla ice cream on top of that chocolate cake. And then you go to bed. Now, let's do that for a month. What do you say? You say, Pastor, you trying to kill us? Hey. You say, I'd never do that. I should hope you wouldn't. If you did do that, I would not be shocked if your insurance company canceled you. But you know, that's exactly on a spiritual level what a lot of Christians do with their spiritual body, with that soul body that lives inside their physical body. You see, the spiritual body gets its feeding from the Word of God. That spiritual body gets its feeding, gets its nourishment, gets its strength from coming to church. That spiritual body gets its feeding from studying the Word of God and memorizing the Scripture and praying and serving the Lord and teaching your Sunday school class and giving your all to the things of God. And yet you see so many Christians that sit around and feed their soul on the things that the world has to offer. You know, it's sad, but there are a bunch of Christians that know a whole lot more about that Kardashian bunch of harlots down in Florida than they know about the God of the Bible. And you know that's true. You know that's true. And folks, that is exactly what is going on all over America in our churches. We are too busy for God. We're too busy to read the Bible. We come home, first thing we do is we're watching TV, we're on social media, we're Facebooking and tweeting and you name it, Instagram and all the rest of them, and God is nowhere to be found in our lives. And our spiritual soul body is sitting here going, I'm dying of starvation here. I am dying of starvation. Would somebody feed me something that has some value in it? Folks, you're two bodies. You're two bodies. You are a physical body and you are a soul body. And that leads me to a second thought. Number two, why is it so important to take care of that spiritual body? You know, the truth is, folks, most of us never even think about this matter of making sure the soul is strong and fit and nourished and growing. Most of us don't even think about it. It never crosses our mind. So why is it so important that this soul body of ours be nourished? Why is it? Well, think about this, folks. It is this body that you're going to have when you get to heaven. Amen. Huh? Now, have we not been to too many funerals, folks? Huh? Ain't that right? What do they do? They bring that casket down the aisle. And what's in that casket? Our loved one. And how many times have we gone down here to Evergreen? How many times have we gone up here at the end of 140 here? And we carry that body in that casket over and lay it on top of a grave. And then they lower that casket down and we bury our loved one. You don't go to heaven in this body. This body has the curse of sin upon it. It's not what you go to heaven in. Oh, one of these days it's going to be resurrected. But if you die right now, to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord, we put this one in the ground. It is the soul, the spiritual body that goes to heaven. You with me on that? I'm telling you, that's the one you're going to stand in front of the Lord with. I mean, that's the one you walk through the pearly gates with. You better feed that thing. You better take care of that thing. That's the one that's going to walk through the pearly gates and see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. You don't want to walk in there with a body about that high, where it's been stunted, and you don't want to walk in there with a body that's so out of shape, folks won't even recognize you. Yeah, a dear friend of ours just fusses at me because I never go to my high school reunions. I have not been to one of them. I didn't like them people when I was in high school, and I certainly am not going to change my opinion on them now. I have never had any desire to go. One of them called me. He just passed away. Bless his heart. He just passed away. Jimmy Dive was his name, and Jimmy was a good guy, and knew the Lord, loved the Lord, and he kept trying. He called me, Norse. We're having our 25th. Norse. We're having our 30th. Norse. We're having our 45th or whatever. Are you coming? Are you coming? No, I'm not coming. Oh, come on. I'll let you preach. I'll tell them you're just gonna preach to us. And I thought, well, you know, that might be a good idea. But then, I don't want to go. I'm not coming. And he said, honestly, you wouldn't recognize any of them. You wouldn't know any of them. And he said, I know you haven't changed a whole lot. He said, I follow you on the internet. He said, I've listened to hundreds and hundreds of your sermons. And he said, you haven't changed a whole lot. He said, your hair's gray, but he said, you haven't really changed a whole lot. I said, no. I said, what about so-and-so? He said, oh my goodness, big as a house. I said, really? Oh yeah, he's big as a house. Oh man, he was the athlete when we were in school. Oh, he's not an athlete now. He can't walk across the floor without gasping for air. Well, what about so-and-so? Oh, yeah, she was the homecoming queen, but you ought to see her now. Woo! I mean, she's big. Jimmy, what about so-and-so? Oh, you would not believe so-and-so. You know, if you don't take care of yourself, and with the natural aging process, these physical bodies, they don't last very long, do they? And boy, we need to take care of that spiritual man within us. That's the one you're going to go to heaven with, folks. Let's just use a little common sense here. We have all been to too many funerals, and we know that when we die, we take our dead bodies and we bury them in the ground. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. We believe when we die that it is our physical body that grows old or diseased or is in an accident and it dies, but it's the physical body that dies. The soul is eternal. It's eternal. God created Adam in the garden, breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And that word living means eternal. So your soul is eternal. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say all the time, the soul is the real you, and you must live somewhere forever. You must live somewhere forever. And that's because the soul is the real you and it's eternal. And even though your body dies, the body is only the house of the soul. And that soul must live either in heaven because you're saved or in hell because you're not saved. But the soul is going to live forever. So the body that you will take to heaven with you is not your physical body. It is your spiritual, your soul body. Let me tell you something, folks. If God were to give us a sixth sense, which we do not have, but let's suppose we had a sixth sense to see our soul, spiritual bodies, most of us would be totally ashamed if we could see our bodies. It would be dwarfed. It would be stunted. And we would be as out of shape and as disgusting looking as we could be. Someone would look at most of us and would say, hey, I thought you were 6'2" tall, but mercy, you're only about 2'4". What happened? Well, that's what happens when you don't take care of yourself, spiritually speaking. And folks, this is the body that we're going to heaven in. We ought to want that body to be as strong and as fit and as attractive and as sharp as it can possibly be. There is a Holy Spirit who lives in your soul. There is a Holy Spirit who sits on the throne of your heart and wants to help you get your soul strong and in shape and wants your soul to be fit and healthy. But there's also a devil who wants you to love sin. A devil who wants you to feed your soul body with junk food. The spirit wants you to feed your soul with good, sound spiritual food, but the devil wants you to feed it with junk. And the truth is, we have been given the wrong motives I think, for folks to stay away from sin. I really think we've been given the wrong motives. You see, we've been programmed to think that you shouldn't do certain things because they're on Pastor Norris's hit list. You know, you shouldn't watch certain things on TV because Pastor Norris doesn't like those things. But folks, that's not it at all. I mean, there's a spiritual reason why you ought to be careful with what you watch. There's a spiritual reason. And that spiritual reason is that you are two bodies. And you better make sure that the things that you feed your spiritual body are things that are going to nurture it and edify it and strengthen it and build it up and fill it with nourishment. You're two bodies. But you know the truth of the matter is, most Christians just live like they have only one. Think of that, Christian. God lives in you. Man, that's a sobering thought. God lives in you. So don't throw God off the throne of your life. Don't throw the Holy Spirit off the throne of your life. Take care of that spiritual body that you have in Christ. We should not say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Or you should stay away from that. Pastor Norris hates it when folks do that. No, that should not be your reason. No, sir. No, sir. You need to you say, don't gossip, boy. Pastor Norris hates gossip. Don't gossip. Listen, you should not stay away from gossip because of what I think of it. You ought to stay away from gossip because you're two bodies. You are a physical body and you are a spiritual body. And that's why you ought to stay away from gossip. God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't want your spiritual body to be malnutritioned, underdeveloped, dwarfed in any way. The point is, Christian, there are some things we ought to do, and we ought to do them on purpose. Every day, on purpose. And those things will strengthen our spiritual bodies. I'm talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about coming to church when the doors are open. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about being spiritually minded. Listen, I am not against exercise. I do it. I have to now, or I'm not going to be around. So I got to do it. I do it kicking and screaming. I don't like doing it. I'll be honest with you, I don't like it at all. I had the boys move the treadmill down where I can watch TV, watch the ball game while I'm walking. Yeah, I made them put it in the den where my chair is today. Yeah, because you know why? Because, wait a minute, I'm watching a game here. Wait a minute, Manchester United's playing. I need to go exercise, but the ball game's on. I'll exercise after the game. And then after the game, I'm hungry. You know, and then I got to cook dinner. I'm hungry. And then after I eat, I say, I'll exercise after I eat. After I eat, I don't want to exercise. And I sit down. And I said, well, I'll exercise after a while. And then after a while, Sean Hannity comes on. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot. Just any excuse and I'm good. And don't look at me like that. You're the same way. So what I did was I had the boys move the treadmill downstairs and put it in the den where my chair is. Now, if I don't exercise, I can't blame it on anybody or anything. It's my fault. Let me show you one more verse and I'll close. I'm not against you exercising. That's my point. Look at 1 Timothy 4. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. All right, look at this. Look at verse, let's start in verse 6. 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of those things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto what? Godliness. Now watch this next verse. What did he say now in verse 7? Exercise. Remember, you got to exercise the physical or you end up like this. Now that ought to be motivation for all you young people up there to exercise and stay with it. Because look at this. This is what happens. All right, now look at it. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. In other words, feed your spiritual man. You with me? Nod your heads. Do you see that? Am I making this up? Or you with me? All right, now look at the next verse. For bodily... Now, how many bodies are you? Big hint. Two. You are a physical body, natural body, and you are a spiritual soul body. All right? So, bodily exercise, physical body, bodily exercise profiteth little. Man, I love that verse. Isn't that a great thought? But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. We'll be going down the road, and I'll see somebody out there jogging, you know, sweat pouring off of them. They're out there jogging. You can tell they've been running forever. And I'll look at Karen, and I'll say, that guy right there, he's going to die old and healthy. That's right, isn't it? But he's going to die. Oh, he might be old and healthy, but he's going to die. Right? Last year, in February, I went down to Lauren's in Evans to see Ava. And that's why I went down there. And... So I went down on a Thursday, and on Saturday they came out and they had tennis shoes on and shorts and they had sweatbands and all this stuff, and I said, where y'all going? And Lauren said, we're going for a run. And I said, where? And they said, well, we just take off and we just run. And she said, do you want to go? I said, no, but if while you're out there, you run past a Dunkin' Donuts, if you don't mind, you can pick me something up and bring it back to me. And I said, now take your cell phone, because if you stop somewhere, call me or text me, and I'll tell me where you are, and I'll text you what I want you to bring me back. Now, you know, folks, I'm certainly not against strengthening the body. Don't misunderstand me. But what concerns me is that most Christians don't even realize that they've got another body. And man, everybody is on this health craze, and they're drinking, you know, this stuff that costs $20 a shot, and it's nasty to taste, but yet it makes them healthy, they say, and so they'll spend $20 to drink something that they grimace while they swallow it, and then they're jogging and running and doing this and doing that, and I'm not against any of it, certainly not against any of it. But man, we need to start living like we got two bodies. Now, I didn't say it. Paul did. And Paul said that physical stuff, it compared to the spiritual, it's not near as important. It's not near as important. I'm telling you, folks, the spiritual is 10,000 times more important than the physical. Don't kick the Holy Spirit off the throne. Let him call the shots. Let him direct you. Let him guide you. Let him fill you. He wants to sit on the throne. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit.